The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Max Radio. Open line through till 1, so call 66 13 68, text or WhatsApp on 166 177. Email studio at maxradio.com. The highest number of visitors for TT since the 2007 centenary year, apparently. 38,000 have travelled on the boat this year, or the boats this year. So well done to the steam packet. They released the figures earlier on today. The highest number of passengers carried to the races since 1986 outside the 2007 Centenary Festival. 37,808 people have used the steam packet between the 22nd of May and today. Among those arriving, 13,385 motorbikes. How many? 13,385 motorbikes, 5,488 cars and vans. Numbers are up 11% compared year on year. And more freight's been brought to the Isle of Man as well too, which has seen a 15% increase compared to the same period last year. So well done to the steam packet. Congratulations to them. Does it look busier to you, by the way? There has been, and I don't know whether, have you just noticed it or is it just me, but thefts from the paddock. I mean, we always get odd bits of pilfering, but actual thefts from there as well, behaviour possibly worse. I mean, the fact that the police have to say you don't need to go on closed roads, to actually state you shouldn't be encroaching on closed roads. Perhaps it's lots of new people coming to the island for TT and they don't quite understand the enormity of what a closed road actually means. But really, have you got any thoughts on this? Anyway, and also, I don't want to just harp on this because I'm sure there's a lot going on that's very notable around the Isle of Man, but incidents of trouble at some of the campsites as well, particularly I heard St. John's fights going on. I wonder what that's all about, whether or not it's alcohol-related or just hijinks. You never know what it is. Or maybe the best of friends having a little tiff. But anyway, congratulations to the steam packet. Record numbers, 37,808 people, 13,385 bikes, 5,488 cars and vans. Well done to the steam packet. And Julian's first with us today. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy. How you doing?
Very well, thanks. Yes, just hope this weather holds out.
Well, yeah, I'm on a roving report from Gorsley. The pasties are just out, and I've whipped the first one, really nice and hot, Cornish. And nice pastry, nice thickness.
Who's on duty? Who's on duty at Gorsley?
I'm not sure exactly, if I'm being honest, but
Who's serving the pasties, though?
There's five lovely ladies, and they're extremely efficient, and it's cash only.
Oh, is it really?
Completely support, 100%. No CBDCs in sight.
Fantastic, good.
Yeah, speaking of ferries, just looking at a news article from a couple of days ago, the Greek Ministry of Shipping and Island Policy has now mandated that EVs and plug-ins cannot board a ferry unless their high-voltage battery has a maximum charge level of 40% and has to be confirmed on their dashboard. And this is to do with the likelihood of an EV fire is much higher when you get towards high charging rates.
So what, not letting, what does that mean in English?
It means that you can't get on the ferry if you're, if the guy leans in and has a look at your charge state on the battery on your car. If it's 41% or more, you can't board the ferry.
Over 40%, you can't board the ferry.
Yeah, carpet ban on all ferries in the Greek country, the country of Greece.
Wow.
So that's their new mandate.
Well, I wonder why that is. What's behind that, I wonder?
I think it's incidents of fires with the EVs. This does beg the question. Remember last year we were talking about this, and I was looking on ZapMap, which is the app that shows you every charging point in the UK and further afield. And there are two fast chargers round the corner from Half Tide Dock. And this is, I think I mentioned to you, I was just wondering, you know, how likely might it be that somebody might decide to give it a good sort of high-speed charge before they get on the ferry so they don't have to worry about it here?
I just wonder, I mean, are they ever going to offer, have they ever mentioned offering charging on the boat itself? Because the last thing you're going to want is for an electric vehicle to run out of juice because, of course, you can't freewheel them. They'll just be stuck on the boat.
Well, yeah, I mean, I suppose they do have AC on the boat. I suppose that if the person who's got their EVs got their normal 3 kilowatt sort of home charger in the boot, I suppose they could possibly run an extension and sort of slow charge it just to run them around a little bit. And then you've got the rapid charger in front of the sea terminal at 50 kilowatts.
Have we ever had a definitive word from the steam packet on how they would mitigate an EV fire?
Not as far as I know. I heard about a fire blanket, but I was just wondering, what would be the logistics if that or either the double or the single decker bus caught fire, or the EV one that's over at the moment, the Isitaro? What sort of a size blanket would you need for that?
That would be industrial, wouldn't it? That would, presumably the bus company's been supplied with one of those, because don't attempt fate, but I mean, if that thing torched off, we'd all be in trouble.
Well, yeah, you probably feel the heat from here. There you go. Just a new regulation from Greece. So if anybody's driving from the Isle of Man to Greece, you better make sure you deplete your battery down to 40% or less, or they won't let you board a ferry if you're going from Paphos to the Greek island.
Appreciate that, and give my regards to the ladies with the pasties at Gorsley.
I will do that.
Thanks for that. Andy. Good to hear from you. 14 minutes past 12, live from the TT course. Incidentally, my friend Colin sent me a link and just said, did you know that the people who build our Sea Cats are going electric? It's true. Incat, which is the company that built the Sea Cat, and they built the old Sea Cats. The only ones they didn't build were the Super Sea Cats, which were Italian, weren't they? Fincantieri. But Incat, who are based in Tasmania, are building an electric boat. I'm not kidding you, an electric fast craft. Apparently, they say they're leading the world in the transition to zero-emission passenger and vehicle ferries. It's true. If you want to take a look, Incat is incat.com.au for Australia. And the electric future, it's a belter. It's a big thing that they're putting in. Incat Electric, it's called 148E. It's going to be aluminium and just an electric boat. Well, presumably, if you can get an electric ferry to go across the Tasman Sea, which is notoriously choppy, to go from Hobart to Sydney, that will be something. Maybe we'd get one here. Maybe, who knows, because we have our current boat is an old Incat boat, although the American military had it before we did. But it would be interesting to see. We were talking about the job that Synaptic's done and that £18.3 million that Manx Care got to get the queues down, the waiting lists at Nobles, and it's happened. I mentioned I got a couple of notes in from people who got brand new knees yesterday and had nothing but praise for the teams. But also a note in, G on 313 just asked, what's happened to the restatement of private care at Nobles Hospital? We used to have a private ward at Nobles Hospital. It got repurposed, I think, during COVID as just an extra ward. Nothing much has been said about it since, although Theresa Cope and the Minister for the DHSC, Laurie Hooper, MHK, has talked about the fact that they're in talks with providers, presumably one of the insurance companies. It's Aviva, isn't it? The old Norwich Union, and Aviva provide wards, and also the one that we use that's contracted to the Isle of Man is Spire Healthcare. So whether or not that's going to happen over here, Lots of people have included in their salary packages private health care, and at the moment we don't really have a dedicated private ward. We have a ward, if you've been to a private ward, our private ward is nothing like private wards across. So I wonder what the insurance companies are going to say and whether or not it's a priority for the future of Noble's Hospital. And also, G says, the Visit Ireland's claiming that PR reach of 5.8 billion. Can we expect hundreds of thousands of Chinese and other visitors soon? Well, they were talking about the fact that that includes reposts and people sending it on. But 5.8 billion is something, isn't it, for Visit Isle of Man? There's no way an electric vehicle should be able to charge on the boat. I think it will be incredibly dangerous, 502. I still can't believe we allow EVs on the boat at all. There's no way to put out an EV fire. We would have to abandon ship. We haven't had the official word on this. I mean, whenever we ask the steam packet, what they say is, predictably, the first contingency, the first thing that the steam packet deals in is the safety of the public, which is what we'd expect. Nice to know. But lots of people who got EVs were being urged to purchase EVs. Lots of, again, corporate providers, people get EVs as part of as a company car. I think when we asked the fire and rescue service last time, they had less than half a dozen EV blankets, because you can't put out an EV fire. You just have to smother it, put a large blanket over it, and just hope it just the combustion just wears itself out. As to what would happen if anything were to, I don't want to tempt fate, but you have to think of these things. What would happen if it were to happen on the boat? EVs, it's not just EVs which are restricted on the ferries, it's also alternative fuel vehicles. For vehicles using alternative fuels such as LPG or CNG, natural gas, LPG, liquid petroleum gas, the fuel tank is only allowed up to 50% of its capacity. 653. So it's not just EVs which can't go on Greek ferries with more than 40% charge, also LPG and CNG can't go on with more than 50% of fuel in it. 40% will still get you 100 miles of range if you're heading around Greece. Greece is big, though, isn't it? Don't even jest, says Gary, that we get an electric boat, not with those in our government at the moment. They'll say, that's a great idea. Let's waste lots more money, says Gary in Ramsey. Well, Thank you, Gary. I'm only pointing out that the people who made our Fastcraft, and fine Fastcraft it is, Mananan, was built by Incat in Tasmania. And they're trying out, I mean, have a look, take a look. It's a very impressive looking thing, and there's videos and everything for it. It's got massive batteries, but they're building an electric ferry there. Sarah Maltby is the Member of Parliament for Motorsport Responsibility. And they were talking about the targets for this year, bearing in mind the numbers now that have been brought by the steam packet this year. Way, way up. 11% on last year. This is what Sarah Maltby had to say.
In 2023, £36 million was generated from 43,000 visitors. We want to grow those visitors by 6,000 this year. That's a task for the DfE, for the visit agency, to be able to bring those people to the island.
Well, there we are. 43,000 people generated £36 million, a little less than, what's that, £1,000 per head. But that's £36 million that's come in. And the one thing about the TT is it does spread money out through the economy, from people getting that tax-free bonus known as homestay to a lot of the traders, hospitality on the Isle of Man, that get that two-week push when everything happens for 2 weeks. Of course, there are things like workers' wages to pay, there's personnel to pay, but it is a big push. So we wish everybody well and just hope that we continue with that. But £36 million from 43,000. Anyway, thoughts on that and lots more messages to get through. Anybody who moans, says Dave, anybody who moans about the prices at the food at the grandstand clearly hasn't ever been to an event, especially a motorsport event, anywhere else. put on. The Isle of Man prices are reasonable and cheaper than you would pay elsewhere for motorsport events. I think we looked at how much it was for the priciest weekends for motorsport. I did look at Formula One, which, of course, is way above the TT, but it costs an absolute fortune. You go to Las Vegas to the Grand Prix there, costs you over £6,000 before you start spending anything. £6,000. Go to the Canadian Grand Prix, you'll be spending just under £6,000. British Grand Prix costs you £5,000. So the TT, of course, is world class, not world rated, but it is world class, and they've aimed to get it up. So we remember when they corporatized the whole thing over 10, 15 odd years ago, it suddenly got corporatized. And it's not, of course, as, if you like, folksy as it used to be. There is a lot more corporate stuff going on in the TT, but it will cost a lot more money. And I suppose they would say that's what you get when you get corporate, when you start getting corporate people. However, some discontent also about the availability of TT merchandise. Apparently, they were running out of various sizes at the grandstands. So here we go again. We had the people who didn't pay us our money. Now we've got another bunch of people. They're professional people. They do stuff, I think, at Formula One meetings. But should we really be running out of TT merchandise on the Isle of Man? If the DOI gets us an electric Seacat, I'm guessing the power cable will get tangled in the offshore wind turbines. I think it might be wireless, G. I'm just, don't quote me on that, but I'm guessing there wouldn't be a big wire sticking out of the back of it. And also regarding the fact that you, have they mended the cash machine at Port Erin Isle of Man Bank? Because apparently they were waiting for the part yesterday and still weren't giving anybody cash who wasn't a customer of Isle of Man Bank. Isle of Man Bank can't give other banks' customers cash. The only way is to visit your own bank or use an ATM. Except the ATM, the Isle of Man Bank, is bust. It's knackered. How could a bank with no access to UK or Scottish accounts give cash to customers? There'd be no way of passing a debit back to those accounts. Neither would they have the ability to access or view non-offshore accounts to obtain confirmation that they have funds in their accounts. They're separate legal entities and wouldn't be able to share information, or you don't bank. If you don't bank there, you're not getting any cash, says that correspondent. Well, that's obviously the bank side of it. I mean, as a customer, you think if an ATM can sort that sort of information out, why can't somebody in the bank? Have they got a different computer? Dr. Allenson was wasting, and this is concerning assisted dying. Dr. Allenson was complaining on the radio about the time being wasted with questions in the House of Keys. Well, I just wonder how much time has been wasted with his assisted dying discussion. He says only a couple a year will avail themselves of it. So how much is the cost of getting that legislation through? Well, to be honest, it's going to be tens of thousands of pounds, because getting legislation through takes, obviously, the legislative draftsmen and women will put all that together. All the secretaries will be involved, the MHKs, the MLCs, everybody's going to be involved. So getting a bill through costs an absolute fortune. I suppose it depends whether or not you think the assisted dying bill is worth it. The 3,000 operation figure isn't all synaptic. Half of the surgeries, says Rick, are still carried out by our own consultants. This is the fact that 18.3 million was spent on 3,000 operations. It's about 5,000 per patient is a fraction of the real cost of synaptic. And if it's sustainable, why are Manx Care asking for money? I thought the 20 million from the 2% tax increase in the budget was for that, says Rick. Regards assisted dying, text the 653, and this is controversial, but I believe that anybody should be able to choose to die if they wish. There'd obviously be questioning and counselling for months beforehand, but I believe that having this would actually help reduce the number of suicides in the country in a similar way that safe injection rooms help reduce deaths from drug overdoses. Ultimately, if somebody wants to die, they should absolutely have the right and be able to do so without suffering, says 653. Well, the crux of the assisted dying is that you have to have a terminal illness. You can't just opt for it because you feel like it. You have to have a diagnosable terminal illness. Now, many people say that that will be the thin end of the wedge, and people would start off with having a terminal illness and it will be sanctioned and it would happen were it to become law. And some people contend that additional legislation may be drawn in through equality legislation, as in somebody who doesn't qualify would say, well, under the equality laws, I should be allowed to do this. It would then end up going to court. The only people who would make money will be the advocates, and it would go one way or the other. But it is a vexed question, and I just wonder what you think. Thank you. 007 tuned in today, Mr. Bond. There is a new ATM within the new ShopRite in Port Erin, so just trog on round the corner from the Isle of Man Bank and go to the new ShopRite. Or has it been branded Tesco yet in Port Erin? And you can get as much cash as your account will stand. Oh, just a quick word today. Of course, it's the 80th anniversary of D-Day, and we've got a special program on air tonight at 6 o'clock. Dave Moore has recorded some interviews with a number of Manx and Ireland resident veterans sharing their memories of war and conflict. Now, these have never been broadcast before, and in fact, most, if not all, of the interviewees are no longer with us. These were recorded 24 years ago. And it's timely that we listen to those today. So tune in tonight at 6 o'clock, basically the 80th anniversary of D-Day, listening to those of it. You'll hear people like James Fenton, Peter Kenyuk, and Hetty Thomas, and more. At 6 o'clock tonight, D-Day, 80 years on. More comment, lots of comment about assisted dying, which I'll get to you in a minute. But regarding the parking, the parking has been mentioned in the parking for the TT and how it is, because it's been split. Obviously, Nobles Park has a car park, and there's a car park, St. George's, by the football ground at the back of the police headquarters. Have you been up to the grandstand and the paddock? How do you find the parking? Now, Enterprise, Department for Enterprise, says it wants Douglas City Council to revisit decisions made about parking around the grandstand. What do you think?
The Super Twin race has just finished, and I have managed to find a parking spot in the streets behind St. Ninian's Church, but it wasn't particularly easy. The Department for Enterprise, which runs the TT, says the amount of space for parking in Nobles Park itself has been halved this year because of a Douglas City Council decision. It means it's only open to pass holders and spectators on motorbikes or with blue badges. Now, there has been an increase in spectator parking at St. George's Football Club, but overall, there's been a reduction of about 1,000 square feet, the department says. Now, let's go and speak to some people around the grandstand and see how they've found parking.
We quite often park up here at the grandstand in Nobles Park, but because of the changes to the parking, we're having to find alternatives.
And is that a frustration?
A little bit, yeah, because we can come up here, we can park, we can get the chairs out, we can sort of make a day of it, and the boys can always go and play at the same time.
On the one-way street down there?
Do you think it would be better if you could park in Nobles Park?
Oh yeah, it's been better the last few years when we've been in Nobles, much better.
Would you like to see that again in the future?
Yeah, definitely.
We chose to park down Brayhill on the side of the road, just so I'm driving a van and don't really trust getting in the muddy park, unfortunately. We came up on the first day and we were a little surprised that the parking kind of turned us away and took us on a rat run to the other side of the paddock. And then when we pulled in, the lady who was letting us in said, look guys, it's a bit muddy, take your choice. And we thought, no, I'm not going to risk it.
The signposting was a lot easier for the last couple of years for the parking. If you don't know the streets, it's a bit of a one-way system.
It was quite difficult to get parked, very busy roads, but we did find a spot not too far away on the side of the road. Took a while, though.
In previous years, there was more parking in Nobles Park closer to the grandstand. Do you think that would be better?
I think so, yeah. It means more people can come and enjoy the day and maybe block less of the residents parking.
This is my 7th year, so my dad's 22nd, and we know you've got to get up and get out, and absolutely fine. We've got a space no problem on the road, and we've used the grandstand car park as well.
Mixed views then. In a statement issued to local democracy reporter Emma Draper, Douglas City Council says it's not aware of any issues.
There are very few, if any, worldwide sporting events where you can park exactly where the event is, as people either park off-site or are bussed in. The parking arrangements seem to have worked well, and we have certainly received no complaints, although obviously we'll always listen to feedback.
An online petition has been started saying the parking situation this TT has caused chaos in surrounding areas.
Any ideas? Has it caused chaos? Have you been able to park where you want to park? Any thoughts? Text, email, call and WhatsApp. And thank you, Bob in Colby. Drop me a note to say, Andy, the cash machine in Port Erin is still out of action. Isle of Man Bank haven't got that spare part yet, although the advice, as you just said, is to walk around the corner. There's an ATM at the ShopRite cum Tesco in Port Erin, and the post office and also the co-op have got cash back as well. The reason why ATMs can service all banks is because they're all linked via the Visa network, says Mark. Thank you, Mark. I'm learning so much about banks now that I didn't know I needed to know. If assisted dying, says Janie, if assisted dying stroke suicide is to alleviate unbearable suffering, how do we alleviate the suffering of those deemed not to have mental capacity, but they still suffer unbearable pain? Big question. I was refused, Joe, I was refused cash from Barclays because I didn't bank with them. I wanted a mixture of denominations for £50. Yet, if I hadn't wanted the mix, I could withdraw from their cash points. I went to Isle of Man Bank and the questions I had to answer to withdraw my own money, ridiculous. You'd think I was asking them to give me a personal blood donation. I'm not surprised the visitors couldn't get cash, says Joe. Thanks also to Di, who said, I love coming to the Isle of Man. You can actually get a pound note here. It's true. If you're not from the Isle of Man and you get to the bank, well, don't go tomorrow because it's a bank holiday, but there are such things as Manx pound notes. You'll probably win all sorts of bets in pubs across by getting a pound note out. Thank you to Terry, who's he's got some notes about what we should be doing at the airport, most of which I can't mention. Regarding the housing situation on the Isle of Man, I currently rent in the private sector with my partner and my sister, as this is the only way we could afford to do it and still be able to save. This month, we've been to the bank with a deposit in excess of £60,000, 60 grand. And we've been told that we can borrow £160,000. Even with this total, £220,000, we can't find a property big enough on the market here. We went to view a 3-bed house last night for £220,000, needed a new roof, needed to be fully re-rendered, and was full of damp and mould. The housing situation on the Isle of Man, I think, is a joke, if it were funny. I'm 36, born and bred on the Isle of Man, and my partner, as is my partner and my sister, and we're looking at having to leave because we just can't afford to buy a property here, says 093. And still, the island plan is to get 15,000 people here, an extra 15,000 people to get the population up to 100,000. Now, if that is to happen, then presumably, I mean, it's obvious we're going to have a lot more houses, a lot more flats. Things are going to have to be built. Quite where they're going to be built and how much they're going to be and the affordability and stuff like that, well, that's for the government to pick up in the future. Mr. Cannon's talking about 15,000. This is Mark, who says Mr. Cannon's talking about 15,000 more people or 15,000 more families, because every individual will probably have a family. Oh, that was 694. Sorry, 694. This is Mark. More people doesn't equal more economic growth. If it did, African countries would have much bigger economies than the UK. They don't, because you get growth by upskilling our people, not by importing more people. It has to be, and thanks also to Wendy, who just said, we need to upskill our people. The point about getting more people, they may not be economically active. They may just come here, maybe just soaking up public services. Who's going to pay for this? It's a no-brainer, says Manx Rob regarding housing. The government should offer low-rate government mortgages for a proper amount, develop social and sporting venues to give the younger generation things to do, more help for young people and families. The investment in these areas would encourage the up-and-coming generations to stay. We have to invest in Manx people local to the Isle of Man and also to businesses on the Isle of Man. Just inviting people in won't get us there. Roger said the landlord's bill, Andy, has had a lot of landlords sell up, so this has raised the rental prices as demand outweighs availability. I also think the banks aren't helping, as you can't buy a property to do up and live in it. They have a retention put on the mortgage, so they have to buy new build only. Surely they should, if they change that, where you can borrow to buy a property to do up and live in, that would help. First of all, it would help on some of those dilapidated properties that blight the Isle of Man. Thank you for that, Roger. It's good to hear from you. And thanks to Terry, who just said, we shouldn't discriminate because of cost. Assisted death should be available to everybody. Terry said, I suffer with long-standing chronic mental health issues and social welfare problems. Who's to say I suffer less than a physical illness? I'm all for it being open to everybody, says Terry. Is anyone else having issues paying gas bills, says Manx Will. Why is a debt collection agency in Scotland answering the Manx number? It takes a lot of credit to call and get cut off after giving my bank details, and I got threatening demands for £70. £70? There's something not right about the gas board, Isle of Man Energy it is now, Will. Who are they, and who are we paying? I didn't know this, so we'll find out more about this. Is a debt collection agency in Scotland answering Isle of Man Energy's number? Thank you, Daphne. What does upskilling mean? It means getting more skills, Daphne. It's very trendy. Upskilling. Getting skills. Knowing more. Being more proficient. Any more words? Any idea? Thank you, Simon, who wanted to know about freedom of information requests. And he said, is it still true you can't put a Freedom of Information request in to find out about Isle of Man Meat Company? It's true. In fact, there are three publicly owned companies that you can't put FOIs in. The Steam Packet, Manx Development Corporation, and the Isle of Man Meat Company. Manx Development Corporation is this company that's buying up brownfield sites and doing them up. We don't know much about them, but the Treasury is the main shareholder. It's possible that three more government-owned organisations could be added to the list of authorities that can be sent Freedom of Information requests. Chris Thomas, MHK, Douglas Central MHK, is going to ask Tim Wald to approve the addition of the Steam Packet, Manx Development Corporation and the Isle of Man Meat Company, so you and I can find, I mean, not that I do, but I mean, if people send stuff in, they can find out more about it. Have they set off yet, Julian? Oh, it's Robert. Hi, Robert.
Hi, how you doing? I was just checking, sorry to bother you. I was just wondering, is the public, not the public, the mobile library still operating during TT?
I don't know, Robert. Have you phoned them and have you asked anybody about it?
Well, I'm going down to the library probably next week. I'm away in the west of the island at the moment, but I'm just wondering whether or not the mobile library's operating, because there seems to be a lot of rhetoric there.
Let me see. Telephone number. It's 640-650. The family library is based at Westmoreland Road, isn't it? 640-650.
Okay.
So whereabouts are you? Are you in the west?
Glenmay.
Okay. Do you use the mobile library much?
Well, when it's there, I'll pop in because I usually have a cup of tea.
Oh, right. Yes. Very nice. Okay. Right.
All right, best go anyway.
640-650. Good to hear from you, Robert. Thanks for that. The freedom of information request. 640-650. Say hello to the family library. The freedom of information request. Now, lots of people are finding that, some people are narrowing their eyes as to why the Steam Packet, the Manx Development Corporation, and the Alaman Meat Company shouldn't be FOIable. So I'll mention Chris Thomas, MHK, wants to know more.
The law is quite clear. Publicly owned companies are subject to freedom of information. Alaman Steam Packet has been in public ownership since 2018. It should have been added to the schedule at the back of the Act, but it takes a positive act by the Council Ministers to add something to that Act. And this motion is to get Tim Wood to express its opinion that Council Ministers should immediately, effectively add those companies to the list and delete the one that's been wound up, PGT Limited. I say immediately. There's a process around implementation which involves engaging with the company and with other people, and that's what's needed to happen. So in my motion, I've put down by December 2024. But hey, if it's there sitting for us in July, Tim Wood, even better. There's been a report published in May 2024, and I won't have to eat my hat because that report agrees with my position, which is that Steam Packet, Manx Development Corporation, Isle of Man Meat Company are includable and should be included in the Freedom of Information Act. There's nothing that Council of Ministers can do other than include them, except by changing the law. I wouldn't describe myself as a whistleblower. No, there's nothing illegal or wrong. It's just I don't think that even the politicians who've been most closely involved know the whole story about what's been going on at Manx Development Corporation and Isle of Man Steam Packet Company. So, for instance, I revealed before Christmas the issues with the Ben McCree that don't seem to have been reported to the Treasury Minister, the shareholder, and Manx Development Corporation is spending millions on brownfield site development, much more than somebody like Douglas City Council has spent on other brownfield sites. And I don't think the public is hearing the whole story about that. These arms length bodies are there to serve the national interest. They're not there to serve their own commercial interest.
Chris Thomas, MHK, talking about those three publicly owned companies that at the moment you can't submit a Freedom of Information request. Now, the whole point, I don't know whether you recall, but during the general election in the last general election, 2021, everybody was talking about transparency. It was one of the words. Everything has to be transparent. Government has to be transparent. We want transparency in public life. And that nobody is suggesting beyond... nobody's even thinking of the fact that maybe anything untoward happening. So let's get that right. With the Steam Packet and the Isle of Man Meat Company, Manx Development Corporation, they're all honourable people running these things, but they are publicly owned. So they are funded, though they're backed by taxpayer money. That's our money. So if they are publicly owned, then do you think we should be able to, I mean, you know, not asking for every jot and tittle that goes on from day to day to day or a running commentary, but, I mean, there are lots of public entities that are subject to freedom of information requests. You're listening to one now. Manx Radio is subject to it. So if you want to find, if you have an information request, you can submit it to Manx Radio. It's one of those things. So do you think it's time that, I mean, do you think it's just a bit of an oversight that it's happened? Or anything else? Thanks also to Julian. Julian's Gorsley at the moment with the TT and sent me a photo of his homemade double chocolate Kit Kat cake that they're serving at Gorsley. Thank you for that. Thank you, Rich. My late mother set up Financial Power of Attorney plus Health and Welfare Plus. It costs, with a will, over £1,000. But without it, if you're mentally incapacitated, you'll not be able, nor would your relatives even consider, assisted dying without a court order. We need a lawyer to explain the personal legalities if you want a relative to represent your wishes. Says that's a really good point, Rich. Thanks for that. Financial Power of Attorney plus Health and Welfare Plus as well. Interesting. And the figures quoted for putting a bill through Tim Wood are wrong. The reason is that the legal personnel, secretarial staff, are all in employment by the Isle of Man government. If they weren't doing it, they'd be doing something less important or very little, says Jay. Yeah, but they must cost something. albeit they are employed, you know, they're not paid out of thin air. They do get paid from a central, so it's possible to segment their time and figure out how much it's cost, because otherwise, what are they? They're not sitting around doing nothing, are they? So there is a cost to putting legislation through. And it's not really notional. Remember, they are getting paid from the public purse. This is not private enterprise. They're getting paid through the public purse. So a lot of money does get spent. Public money gets spent on enacting legislation. Take your point. They're employed anyway. But it's nice to know what proportion of their labour and how much it would cost is apportioned to putting legislation through.
The fabulous Fire Pit outdoor eating range is brilliant for the barbecue and is available now from ShopRite. The ready for whatever the weather frozen selection, any two for £6. Or in the chillers, any two for £8. Add to that a great selection of salads, sides and snacks. We also sell charcoal and picnic ware, so you can create the perfect barbecue feast all in one place. Get set for the racing at ShopRite, Onken, Peel and Ramsey.
Oh, I don't believe it.
Don't believe what?
A small stone just flew off and shattered the conservatory window.
Oh, no problem. I'll call out Manx Glass and Glazing.
Can they fix it?
Yeah. Mum's glass shattered and they soon replaced it.
Manx Glass and Glazing don't just do the big jobs. Visit Snugborough Trading Estate for all your glazing supplies and repairs, including broken or failed double glazed units, along with good old-fashioned customer service and product knowledge.
Manx Glass and Glazing. You're smashing.
Construction waste today.
Tells recycle for another day.
A builder's skip or two.
Tells skips will bring to you.
Need quality type 1 stone for your building or contracting job? Then contact Tells with no minimum order for collection or delivery. Call 677-137. Visit Tells Limited in Snugborough or find Tells Limited on Facebook.
Skips are what they do.
We're the guys that hire one to you.
Call Tells Skips today.
677-137.
Caring for a loved one with special needs can be overwhelming.
With my mobility issues, I find it difficult to manage.
This is when Top Care Nursing can help. Proud to be an Isle of Man Award for Excellence winner, their friendly, professional team of carers and nurses offer a wide range of home care services. From help with daily tasks to giving round-the-clock care, Top Care Nursing can even take blood tests in the home. For a free consultation, call 628 919 or visit topcarenursing.im.
This evening, here on Manx Radio.
Yes, I got quite a few shrapnel wounds from the Stuttgart bombing.
I mean, I can always remember my old father saying, he says, they were under orders, the Germans were, same as he was under orders, you know.
To mark the 80th anniversary of D-Day, you can listen to previously unheard interviews, where Dave Moore talks to people with real-life experience of war and conflict.
How were you liberated?
The bomb. 7th and 9th of August, the two bombs. He said, Japan has lost.
That's this evening at 6 p.m. here on Manx Radio, with an extended podcast available after broadcast.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. It's 11 minutes before one. Somebody was talking yesterday about the Baroness that came over, who was for a sister dying. It was Baroness Mulhy Teacher who came over. And the lady, I think, who phoned yesterday, said Baroness Teacher was rather dismissive of all that. I heard you talking about plumbing yesterday and parity of esteem and everything. This is a Scottish listener who's listening to... We get lots of people in the Stranraer, Dumfries and Galloway, around the Mull of Galloway, who listen to Manx Radio. Thank you for that. I'm glad you do, but just so we heard you talking about plumbing on the Isle of Man yesterday. If you want to join us tomorrow at the South Lanarkshire College in East Kilbride, it's the 39th Annual Scottish Plumbing Apprentice of the Year competition, hosted by South Lanarkshire's facilities. The competition showcasing the skills of Scotland's leading plumbing and heating apprentices as they compete for the prestigious title of Scottish Plumbing Apprentice of the Year 2020. In case you're close by, South Lanarkshire College is in College Way, East Kilbride, and it's on from 10 till 5. Well, thank you very much for that, William. I'm glad you're listening, and I hope you enjoy it. I'm sure you've got better things to do than listen to Manx Radio, but I'm glad that you do. You don't need a lawyer for a power of attorney, says Sue. Get a form from Douglas Courts. They'll explain it, fill it in and register it for about £40. Good to go. I did that when my mother had dementia. So you don't need a lawyer for a power of attorney. Thank you for that. And also thank you to Amy, who says it was interesting listening to the people from FC Isle of Man recently on Manx Radio. And I, for one, am looking forward to that tournament they're talking about. When is it? Oh, crikey. It's in July. 19th to the 21st of July, Chester, Radcliffe and Lancaster City are coming over to play FC Isle of Man. Three-day festival of football at the Bowl, 19th to the 21st. And I think also Brackley Town are coming for a one-off play. Brackley Town lost the playoff. They're in the Northern National League Northern, and they lost the playoff against Boston United. Otherwise, they would have been in the National League, the fifth tier of that. So that's interesting. They're playing the sixth tier of football, bearing in mind the Premier League is the first tier, but they play in the sixth, and they're playing FC Isle of Man in July as well. So there you are, Amy. I hope you enjoy it. Go and see the Ravens doing their stuff at the Bowl from the 19th to the 21st of July, that three-day festival of football. Regarding the... Have you seen the advert? Says Texter 762. Have you seen the advert for the Director of Buses within the Department of Infrastructure? £77,887. That's the bottom of the scale. Top of the scale, £96,908 per year. If you want to be the Director of Buses within the Department of Infrastructure, crikey, says 762. Is it a soft touch job? Well, you're in charge. I mean, you will get criticism. It's not, I don't think you just turn up there and somebody else runs the buses. You'll be Director of Buses, and presumably you do have to know what you're doing. But anyway, £78,000 to £97,000 for that. Thank you for cluing me in on that. Texter 772. And this is Stephen. Thank you, Stephen, who just said, did we ever hear more about that counterfeit currency? No, it was mentioned. I mentioned this the other day. I think they were UK or English £20 notes that were being... police were warning about this, that these £20 notes, but nothing ever really happened. So presumably nothing came of that, or they found out who was trying to pass them. In addition to my information about the power of attorney, Sue 768, the person giving power needs to be mentally fit enough to sign it. I've done mine already, just in case. Thank you, Sue. A stitch in time and all that. Very good to hear from you, Sue. Thanks for that. This person asking about the counterfeit currency was just saying opportunistic thieves that the police were so keen to talk about. Again, has anything happened about that? Or was that just a warning, without knowing that something was going to happen? We have heard of low-level crime, and I don't know whether it's just because we're in the middle of TT, but there seems to be a bit more crime than usual.
Tune in and chill out with Chris Pearson on Manx Radio.
Make the most of those long, light evenings with the Manx Radio Chill Out Show, Sunday nights from 7. Whether you're relaxing at home, out and about, or rounding off your work ends, you'll be more than welcome. Check out the tunes and email chill@manxradio.com.
The Sunday Chill Out. Chris Pearson, Manx Radio.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Just a quick word. No man in line tomorrow. It's a bank holiday. I can't believe it's not senior race day, because that's on Saturday. But anyway, there is a bank holiday tomorrow. So no man in line. I'm back on Monday. Director of Buses salary. Isn't there a Mercedes car provider? What's the full package? What's in the paper? It's advertised for the head of buses. Presumably, if you know there's a Mercedes, maybe it's because they get all the Mercedes buses. Maybe they throw in a car as well. You were talking last week about Summerland, says Pete. What were the survivors and people affected by Summerland like to see built on the Summerland site. Maybe we should ask them, all of them, what it is that they would like at Summerland. And where's the respect for people's families who lost loved ones? Talking of Summerland, we have a statue to remember the Bee Gees, but nothing at Summerland to show the Manx people's respect for it. It was a very charged programme last week when we talked about exactly what it is we should do with Summerland. And again, anything you hear on Man in Line, please, if you want to contribute, out of hours, 682-630 is the answer phone number, or you can email maninline@manxradio.com. Everything gets read, not everything gets out on air because we just run out of time sometimes, but everything that is sent in is taken note of. Of course, all the records are kept, that's the important thing. And a quick word that a week tomorrow, our final constituency, MHKs, will be in. The final of the 12 constituencies, a week tomorrow, the 14th, Glenn Faber and Peel MHKs, Kate Lord Brennan and Tim Crookhall. Interestingly, of course, both former MLCs. And Tim Crookhall was the MHK for Peel before he was an MLC, so experience. Anyway, Kate Lord Brennan and Tim Crookhall will be in a week tomorrow if you want to get in touch. What happened at Summerland was a tragedy. As a kid, I stood behind it as the fire was in full force. But isn't it time we moved on? Says Phil. That's it. Thanks to Howie Kane on the phones today. Enjoy your bank holiday weekend.
WINT.